the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 9 tonight. Jeremiah 9 and verse number 23 and 24. So just a quick update on the remodel. Our sconces are in. Every one of those holes will have a sconce on it. The new sconces are in and the light bulbs. And so Santos will be putting those in. We are working through some issues right now with flooring. The cost of the flooring came in higher than what we were bid. So they're having to resolve that now. And as you can see, they've already built the bullnose, I call, or the push out on this. That gives us more room on the platform for instruments and singers. And it doesn't take up hardly any of our aisle. So more things are coming our way. Look at Jeremiah 9 and verse number 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. I want to talk to you tonight about the three biggest fools in Kingstown. The three biggest fools in Kingstown. Jeremiah says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Now, knowledge is what? Wisdom is how. And I meet a lot of very intelligent people who have made great strides in their careers. They knew what to do with what they had. But to be wise in that wisdom and to rely on it totally, thinking, I can reason out heaven. I can reason out the afterlife. You must understand, what is coming is so far beyond our understanding that God tried to put it in the English language for us, and the best he could say is that it's the fullness of joy, and that nobody's ever seen or heard or even imagined, 1 Corinthians 2:9 says. But one of the wise men you will run into is the atheist. The atheist worships himself. He believes with enough time and resources, he can be his own God. He can do anything. Their goal right now with physical and human augmentation is to extend life, to become immortal, to add machine to us so that we can outlast the current projections. But the problem is there is still a God that you're going to have to face. No matter how much they think it's not that way, there is a God, and every man and woman will bow the knee and give an account of themselves. If you've got your Bible, you can keep your hand there in Jeremiah, but we're going to flip around quite a bit. Tonight, we're going to look at a lot of scripture. Look at Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1. This is the classic scripture on atheism. This is the theme verse for atheism, Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Look at it now. They are corrupt. They are have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. I want you to look in your King James Bible, and you're going to find that the word there is was added by the translators to make it grammatically correct. They didn't fix the Bible. The Bible doesn't need fixing. But when you bring one language into another, you do have to augment it to help make it grammatically correct. So in the Hebrew, it says, the fool has said in his heart, no God. No God for me, no God but me. They are corrupt, and they are. They are corrupt. They want to tell you that their education makes them above that kind of stuff, but it's not. They have done abominable works, things that God finds personally sickening. The word abominable or abomination is a word that has no modern equivalent. It's not in the modern Bibles because there's no modern synonym to abominable. The word abomination and abominable means to be so angry you're disgusted. There is no modern synonym for that. So they have done. They have acted and lived in such a way that God sees them as a fool and says, "You are living and doing things in such a way. You say there is no God." And the truth is, if you do not have as your truth statement for life in the beginning God, then anything is possible. Yes, that's true. But what typically happens is we follow our sinful hearts and we do things which are terrible rather than incredible. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You see this also mentioned in Psalm 53 in verse number 1. Psalm 53 and verse number 1. Look what it says. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Corrupt are they, and they have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. It's interesting to think the atheist brought a court case against the national, you know, just against the national government for observing Christmas. We're atheists. We do not have a day of our own. And the judge said, oh, yes, you do. And they said, what's that? April Fool's. Because a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's National Atheist Day. You need, on April 14th, you need to post that. All right? That's the National Atheist Day. In Obadiah, the Bible says, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And that is the truth about an atheist, a person who will not recognize that there is a God, who cannot look at the world around us. And here's the thing. They look at the world around us, but they draw different conclusions. We are not at odds with science. Science is that which can be observed, that which can be measured and experimented with. There is nothing wrong with science. We are not in disagreement with science. Where we disagree is that their own predetermined bias makes them interpret the data the way they want it to be. You and I look at the universe and its complexity and its order and its genius and its vastness and go, wow, what a designer. Because order comes from design. But the atheist looks at it and goes, what an accident. Who'd have thought? In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, for the invisible things of him, of who? Of God. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. We can understand by looking at the things in creation and understand that there is a God. Even his eternal power and Godhead. The Godhead is a God is a triune being. We are made in his image. We are a triune being. We are body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 3 that God says that he is the God of the body and the soul and the spirit, all three pieces. But we live in a trinity. Everything in this universe can be measured by time, space, and matter. Do you understand that? Everything. And everything, every one of those can be defined as a trinity. Time is past, present, and future. Space is length, width, height. Time is, and then matter is liquid, solid, and gas. It's a trinity of trinities that we live in. So the Bible says they are without excuse. People ask me this all the time. I had a Bible study this last week, and I gave the gospel to this person. And they kept wanting to talk about the indigenous tribes that's never seen a missionary. I said, well, God gave them the witness of creation. God gave them the witness of their inner conscience. And God gave them the witness of their own laws that in their own society that they can't keep. But let's not talk about them. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about, I started that conversation. I said, look, I'll explain that to you. I'll explain how God takes care of them. But let's talk about you right now. Let's bring it home. Let's bring it home. What about you? I'm okay. I said, you need to pray and receive the Lord as your Savior. I'm okay. No, you're not. The Bible says in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The biggest fool in Kingstown is the wise man who glories in his wisdom. The Bible says here in Obadiah 1:3 that it's his pride. It's the pride of his heart that hath deceived him and made him to the place where he cannot believe there is a God. The second person who falls under the category of wise is I would refer to as the evolutionist. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 3, you will find the definition of evolution in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. You need to see this now. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 3. Look here. It says, knowing this, that there shall come in the last days. Now, we've been in the last days since the ascension of Jesus. You understand, God is an immortal, eternal being, and time is nothing to him. And the past 2,000 years, they say, is like 2 days. It's nothing to him. We are in the last days. And it says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Scoffers are people who see revealed truth and deny it. Why would they do that? Because of their pride of their heart and their own internal bias, desiring to be God. Remember, you are who you run with. I had this conversation with my nephew this week. He asked me about this statue I saw of an angel with wings and a sword and a chain standing on the head of Satan. And I got the chance to witness to him and tell him about the coming dethroning of Satan and how he'll be locked up. And I told him, I said, all of the angels that fell with him wanted to be worshipped as God. And it's not any shock that Satan's ministers want that as well. Look at it. It says, scoffers, walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? The reason they're scoffing, the reason they're asking and questioning God's word, God's truth, is because of their lust. For since the fathers fell asleep, here's the definition of evolution, all things continue as they were from the beginning of God, or beginning of creation. That is not true. Things have not always been this way. For this they are willingly ignorant of. There are three things that the evolutionist is dumb on purpose. They are wanting to be ignorant of. What is that? They're ignorant of the word of God, that the heavens of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That's creation, number one. Number two, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. The second thing they deny is the flood. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. An evolutionist denies the existence of the original creation, the flood, and the coming judgment. This, it doesn't compute. It doesn't fit their narrative or their truth. And so they are a fool. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, Paul challenges Timothy, oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. He's talking about the word of God and the truth. Avoid profane and vain babblings. There's a lot of that going on right now. And oppositions of science, falsely so-called. Yeah, they had people all the way back in the first century trying to use known science to dethrone and debunk the idea of God. One of the biggest fools in Kingstown is the wise man. Lastly, not just we have under the wise men, we have the atheists and the evolutionists, we have the village idiot. They think they know everything. Take your Bible, go to the book of Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 12. You know, saying those words, Pastor Mix, is not very nice. Well, what do you call a person that cannot be reasoned with? They cannot be reasoned with, and when presented with truth, become violent and angry and call you names. When did vengeance become a virtue? When did it come where we cannot have a conversation anymore? That's the village idiot. Proverbs 26, 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. A person like that cannot be reasoned with. He thinks he knows best. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 7 and verse 21, with her much fair speech, she causeth him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forceth him. He goeth after her straight way as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. What's crazy is when you're dealing with these people, they're shocked, just shocked to their very core that things didn't work out the way they thought for sure it would. So one of the biggest fools in town is the wise man. Back in Jeremiah chapter number 9, I'll read it to you again, Jeremiah 9 and verse number 23. Let me read it to you again. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, the Bible reads, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might." The mighty man. This is talking about a person who believes that they are all they need. One of the crazy things I'm dealing with out there as I witness to people is I find a lot of people that have gone to a church and they have been brought to a place where they're offered the gospel, but when they're asked to pray, it's all about them. It's never about surrendering to the Lord and depending upon the Lord. Here, just pray this prayer and you're fine. Just say these words and you're fine. If you'll do that, and there's a church right over here, over by Fort Belvoir, that believes if you get in the tank and get baptized, you are going to be saved. No, that's not how it works. I run into these new churches, Reformed theology, on how that, well, if you're chosen, you'll get saved, and there's nothing you can. It's all Arminianism. It's the fact that I don't need God. It's going to happen. Take your Bible, go to Psalm 118 and verse 8. This is the very middle of the Bible. If you were to track word for word for word from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22 and start at each end and work toward the middle, you will find Psalm 118 and verse 8 is the very center of the Bible. Verse starting with Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:20, you go verse by verse, you're going to find Psalm 118. If you go word for word for word, you're going to see the space between the word "the" and "Lord" is the very center of the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The mighty man believes he has all he needs. The Bible says he's cursed. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Where is your trust today? Who are you trusting in? Well, if I just get another degree, or if I'll get another certification, I'll be able to make this happen, and that's when things are going to work. No, God is sitting on the throne. God is where your trust should be. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 40 and verse 4, "Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." Why is it foolish to trust in man rather than God? Or trust in yourself rather than God? Because life is short. Do you realize you have an expiration date? You understand that one of these days will be the last one of your days. You understand that? In James 4 and verse 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth it away." You're going to spend a whole lot more time in the next life than you did this life. But what you do in this life determines what the next life is like. Not only is life short, life is troublesome. Job 14 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not." To put your faith, not whether you say, "Well, I don't trust in myself." Well, who do you trust in? The atheist trusts in himself. What do you trust in? Life is short, life is troublesome, and life is easily perished. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:24, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever." Your faith and trust needs to be in the God of the Word and the Word of God. Psalm 90 and verse 5, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as sheep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled." You must understand, this life is short, this life is troublesome, and this life is easily cut down and cut short. to trust in ourselves, to trust in our own intellect. Look, you should think. You need, education's great, and I'm working to try to get some more. But do you understand? The fool and the wise man, the man who's wise and the man who's mighty, they think they have all they need in themselves. And the older I get, the more I walk with the Lord to realize how little I actually have that I need physically and how much more I need the Lord. You know, I've started to give away my books. Why? Because I'm finding that all, the Bible is really what I need. And the books are the ones, the books that help me understand the Bible is more important than the books of someone's opinions about the Bible. So in Jeremiah, again, it says, the three largest fools are the wise man who glories in his wisdom, or the mighty man who glories in his might. But the third fool is the rich man who glories in his riches. Jesus taught us they are some of the hardest people to reach. Mark 10 and verse 22. Mark 10 and verse 22. There used to be a saying, Mrs. Mix, I would say to Mrs. Mix all the time, when we were first married, we'll be married 34 years this year in June. And I used to laugh and say, you know what, you know, 34 years ago, that was 1989. I didn't have a problem in the world $100 wouldn't fix. And then after the first couple of kids come along, you say, I ain't got a problem in the world $1,000 wouldn't fix. And then the joke's been kind of recently because of inflation, I don't have a problem in the world $10,000 wouldn't fix. How about you? Right? You think about it. But really, problems have always been problems. And what I find funny is I look at people in their 20s and I go, how did we ever make it? Well, it's because a lot of times, when we have things and we don't have struggle, we feel self-reliant and self-sufficient to where we don't need God. We have this missionary friend who has a wife that is sweet, just a sweet young girl. And a good girl, pure, sweet young girl. So sweet, whenever you're around her, your teeth ache like you've just been into sugar. I mean, and I said, do you believe that? She is so sweet. And my wife said, of course she is. Nothing's ever happened to her yet. You know, hadn't gone through any problems yet. In Mark 10, Jesus said to the rich young ruler, sell all you have and come follow me. In verse 22, and he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Have you noticed that the stuff you got breaks? Did you ever notice that some of the stuff you can buy today is perfect and pristine, but worthless? And Jesus looked around about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. Why? Because they all hoped to become rich, being in the administration of the new Messiah. But Jesus answering again saith unto him, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The rich man is the third fool in Kingstown. It's hard to be saved because he's trusting in his resources. Number two, he's hard to save because he follows his whims. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9. But they that are rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but to climb Mount Everest, you have to step over 2 to 3 dozen dead bodies that are frozen face down in the snow. Each one of them millionaires. Because you don't just go climb Everest on a shoestring. You have to invest millions of dollars. Many times they have to get sponsors, but many of those people are self-made millionaires who live their whim to climb to the highest peak, not making it and dying face down in the ice. And no one's going to hazard their life getting to the top to drag their body down. I've often said to the Lord, if you give me a couple of million dollars, I promise I won't climb Mount Everest. I promise, Lord, I won't. I won't get in a metal dinghy and try to get to the bottom of the ocean either, Lord. I promise. I'll stay on the shore, okay, and I'll serve you. But the Lord has yet to do that. Why? Because they fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. The rich man is a fool not only because he trusts in riches, but because he has the ability to live his whimsy. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Money is a tool. That's all it is. I've had a bunch and I've had little. And it's just a tool. Oh, it's nice. And it can buy nice things. But I've learned the hard lesson that once you drive that new car off the lot, it's worth a whole lot less than what you paid for it the second it hit the curb. We must understand when we trust in riches, when we make our wealth our God, we pierce ourselves through. Now, if you're successful at what you do and you make a lot of money, praise the Lord. I mean, the guy who runs Chick-fil-A is a multimillionaire. Sam Walton was a Christian, and that's fine. But remember, at some point, if you're not careful, the fool has allowed his things to own him. There's an old proverb that says, a man who has stuff hath woe, for he must spend his life managing his stuff. If you got to spend so much time managing your stuff, you have too much stuff. But thou, O man, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, 18, and 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Have you noticed how your 401k has gone up and down? My biggest concern about digital money is the fact that when hard currency is no longer available, your dollar will be tied to the exchange rate. And there are certain days when the exchange rate is so against the dollar, it's crazy. I have missionary friends that if they go on the wrong day to cash in their dollars for whatever native money is used in that land, it could cost them 3-4 churches' support just in the exchange rate. Money is not certain. That they do, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Look at this. We are to be trusting in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Proverbs 28:11 says, the rich man is wise as his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. Proverbs 13:7 says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. What does that mean? We spend our youth and our health developing our wealth, only to spend our wealth to try to keep our health when it's over. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Jesus pronounces woe. He says in Luke 6:24, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. You got your reward. None of that's going to be recognized in heaven. So let me ask you, who do you resonate with? Who are you more like in this world? Are you someone who is like the wise man back in Jeremiah that says he glories in his wisdom? Some of you are highly intelligent. Some of you are extremely intelligent. But Will Rogers said everybody's ignorant just on different subjects. And you can say everybody's intelligent but on different subjects. Are you trusting in your wisdom or the Lord's? Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. It's scary how fast your strength and your physical health can be taken. It's shocking. Is that where your trust is in? Let not the rich man glory in his riches. You know, I've gone through. I've been around a while. Not as long as some, but it's funny how wealth is fleeting. And sometimes it's just a cycle, depending upon the world around us. So the question I have for you is what is your trust in? When all these things can be taken away, when the wealth can leave you, when the health and the physical strength can leave you, what is it you are trusting in? Is it your wisdom? Is it your physical strength? Or is it in your wealth and your riches? I think to myself, the only thing that transcends these three problems is the Lord. It's the Lord. Tonight, I want to encourage you to come and take a moment and pray and ask the Lord to speak to you. Am I wasting parts of my life chasing after things that are never going to matter in the future? Am I spending my time and my health and my youth, what youth I have left? You know, this is as good as it gets. I'm 55 years old. It ain't getting any better than this. What parts of my life, Lord, am I wasting that really I'll never get back? Investing it in things that have no eternal reward. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We don't want to be one of the fools in Kingstown, but yet we are surrounded by them. Let me read it one more time. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Because the poor man who knows the Lord is still rich. The weak and sickly man is still strong who knoweth the Lord. And even the fool, if he'll renounce his pride, if he'll repent and trust God, will be wise. He that understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, tonight I'd ask you to help us to take a minute and review our life. To review the moments and how we spend them. Our effort and how we utilize it. Our resources that you've entrusted to our management, how we disperse them. That we might see, Father, where our true trust is. Help us to see, Father, what it is we are fearful of. And realize it's because we're not putting our faith and trust in you. Help us tonight to draw close to you, God. To plant our feet firmly upon the truth of your word. And our soul squarely upon our relationship with you. And come what may, Father, we know our ultimate trust is in you. Bless us tonight. Speak to us. Help us be honest with ourselves and with you in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, the altar is open. What if it's all taken away tomorrow? What if we have another 9/11?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Forgive us for being fools. Forgive us for putting our faith and trust in that which is not eternal, that which is not you and your word. Help us, Father, to spend our life, our efforts, and our talents in things that glorify you for eternity. And Father, as we do, we know the promise is you're going to meet our needs. And so we claim that promise and say thank you, Father, for doing so. Thank you, Father, for always fulfilling your promises to us. Help us, lead us, guide us, and strengthen us to be as faithful to you as you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May look this way.